I think it is a fair statement that the explosion in Orient 2 mine on the 21st of December startled and shocked the peoples of the civilized world. I only hope that it results in the American people and the United States Congress being sufficiently impressed with the necessity of abating this loss of manpower in our minds to the point where the federal jurisdiction will be extended to enforce the recognized and promulgated code of safety standards, which is now a guiding rule for examination of mines by the United States Bureau of Mines, Department of the Interior. I have received cablegrams of condolence and sympathy from many countries, some of them transmitted through our State Department, from peoples abroad who are shocked to learn that our great republic is so lax in the treatment of its own nationals who are employed in the mining industry that catastrophes of the magnitude and the nature of the West Frankfort catastrophe is possible. I am informed that in Central and South America, the Latin peoples are shocked that the Colossus of the North treats its mine workers no better than the American and British syndicates operating the tin mines of Bolivia under the protection of the Bolivian government. At a meeting in Paris a few days ago by the officials of UNESCO operating under appropriation from the United States Congress, announced the intention to go into every country in the world and advise the people of those countries of the educational, scientific, and cultural standards existing in our own country. I can imagine that the representatives of UNESCO will have to devote a considerable part of their time teaching the people of India, the Malay Peninsula, and in the Near East, and in Egypt, and Africa, and elsewhere, the reason why our country, which seeks to impose its culture and its standards on other peoples, butcher at will the men who make this economy operate by going into coal mines and rendering service that sustains it. Perhaps the Congress may be called upon to increase its appropriations for that subdivision of government in order that progress will not be impeded, or our ideals and their applications be handicapped by this terrible lesson of neglect that has recently occurred in this crisis. The destruction of 119 lives underground in the brief moments of one night aroused temporary nationwide horror and indignation. Day by day, year after year, however, the same human tragedy, the same immeasurable loss of economic value has been recurring throughout the coal mining industry, in mine fatalities and mine injuries, in women widowed and children orphaned, in husbands and fathers crippled and incapacitated, their chief earning power destroyed. For 51 years, 1900 through 1950, this same number of men killed at one West Frankfort, 119, have been killed in the bituminous coal mines with the passage of every 17 working days. The record of this period shows a total of 73,906 killings in bituminous coal mine accidents, an average of 7.03 men killed each working day. For the 21 years, 1930 through 1950, the bituminous coal mines have taken this same toll of killings, 119 every 24 working days. In these two decades, 20,937,000 and 20,937 miners were killed, an average of 4.94 for every working day. Total killings in bituminous and anthracite mine accidents, since fatalities were first recorded in 1839, have been 114,025. Included in this shocking total were 13,130 men, one man killed in 571 major mine disasters. A mine disaster, under the recognized standard, being a disaster in which being an accident in which more than five men lost their lives. In 25 of these disasters, with the West Frankfort explosion marking the 25th, 100 or more men were killed. In Illinois alone, there have been 39 disasters. 27 of them were explosions of gas or dust of the type which occurred at West Frankfort. Including the miners killed at West Frankfort, 652 miners have been killed by these explosions. During the calendar year just ended, 1951, official figures and estimates reveal that in the bituminous and anthracite industry, 800 men will have been killed. These killings will represent a fatality rate of 1.08 per million man-hours worked, a fatality rate 21% higher than the rate for the year 1950. Paralleling coal mine fatalities in their destruction of human and economic value by the coal mine injuries which each year maim and disable more than 50,000 miners. Official records of non-fatal accidents began first to be recorded by the United States Bureau of Mines in 1930. During the 22 years, 1930 through 1951, 1,304,975 miners have been injured in the bituminous and anthracite mines. In the bituminous coal industry, every working day for the period 1930-1950 shows an average of 227 men injured. Those injured men must take their chances to what degree they are injured in that total reckoning. Some of them are totally and permanently incapacitated. Some have their eyes shut out. Some of them are dismembered and lose their limbs. Others have broken backs. Others are burned to such a degree that through the remainder of their mortal existence, they're scarcely recognizable as human beings. It may interest the senators to know that since the beginning of the United Mine Workers Welfare and Retirement Fund in 1946, that the fund has found and cared for 1,000 paraplegics, or men who were paralyzed below the waist by reasons of injury to their spinal cord. And those men were taken from the huts up the creeks and canyons where many of them live. Taken to hospitals where they were given modern medical attention. Some of them were restored to comparative health. Some are responsive to vocational training and have come back, become able to make their own living according to the aptitude that they have, they possess, for which they have developed. 1,000 men with broken back, neglected through the years by the coal operators who broke their backs. A public charge, if the public assumed the charge and the liability, which it often didn't do. That's only one phase of the attention and the rehabilitation and the service that the mine workers' welfare fund is giving to these victims, the statistical record which I now unroll before you. It might be noted in passing that the establishment of the welfare fund through collective bargaining in the coal industry was fought just as bitterly, just as violently, just as persistently as the same operators now fight any attempt to create more safe conditions in the mines. The same men, the same representatives, speaking for the same associations and for the same coal companies with the same personnel of executives, fought the establishment of the welfare fund and preferred to leave those paraplegics die in their small abodes from neglect and inattention and bed sores, rather than agree that it was desirable for a fund to be created to take care of them. The same men now come before the Congress through this distinguished members of this distinguished committee, plead for the right of the states to continue this abominable record of slaughter unequaled in the civilized world. I sometimes wonder why the great God above don't punish them while they're speaking their brutal language before the Congress of the United States.